it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday. Feeling good? Nate Littlefield behind the glass. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. And it's here. It is finally here. You don't have to wait any longer. Just a couple more hours. Kings Pelicans winner goes into the playoffs to take on the number one seed, but also the least experienced team of those top seeds in the Oklahoma City Thunder. You could really have a good shot against this team. No disrespect to the Thunder, but you got to get it done tonight. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm excited, man. It's been these days off have been pretty rough just in terms of anticipation and waiting, especially after you come off such a emotional high of beating Golden State on Tuesday. You almost want to play on Wednesday just to kind of keep the good feelings going. But got a great opportunity tonight to right a lot of wrongs that they've had this season. And it's a really, really big game. I mean, it's crazy that the season can literally be over tonight. And starting Monday, we're kind of turning the page on the season. And it's just crazy that the swing that can happen here. Either we're going to be playing basketball for at least another week and some change, or everything is over after tonight. You know, it's exciting. It's in a way, it's why we watch sports, is for games like this. And it's the reason why these guys play and love the game so much, is for opportunities like they have today. But it's also a really, really scary opportunity also when you think about the opponent this team is facing, when you think about the fact that, you know, this team doesn't have a long history of coming up in big games. And, you know, you just hope that tonight is another chance for the Kings to show that this group is different. These guys have been trying to prove for the past two seasons now that they are not the Kings team of old. And boy, oh boy, I can't think of a better way of stamping that you are not your parents' Kings than getting a win today and just have it. And we talked about it leading into the playoffs, but having to earn your playoff spot. The Sacramento Kings, if they win today, absolutely earned that last and final playoff spot.
Right. And look, they kind of made it hard on themselves, as every team in the play-in really did. There's a list of wins or losses that every play-in team is probably sitting there hitting themselves saying, man, if we had just done this or done that. But they have an opportunity to right all those wrongs. I mean, the Pelicans, they've tricked off. I mean, this would be a monumental failure.
Yes.
A monumental failure, which does,
epic,
it does scare me, Chris. It does scare me. Yeah. People are starting to feel good. I was watching the Four Letter Network late last night and Austin Rivers, and you can basically tell who's been paying attention and who hasn't. So they throw to Austin Rivers, and Austin Rivers says, there's no Zion. The Kings are, if you weren't a Kings fan, right, and you just saw the Kings play against the Warriors or caught a couple games, and you just saw what they did to the Warriors, they throw to Austin Rivers, and he says, there's no Zion. The Kings are rolling. And he literally said,
Kings are rolling.
He literally said, this seems pretty simple to me. The Kings are going to take it. Kendrick, they then threw
appreciate
the,
it, Austin. Yeah, but I wish it were that easy, buddy.
I just don't think you saw those games. Then they threw to Kendrick Perkins, and Kendrick Perkins said that he, even without Zion, and, you know, we'll joke Kendrick Perkins on this show, but he said even without Zion, he thinks it's even. He said it's all about Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum. He didn't reference the 0-5, but you could tell that Kendrick at least saw, it's probably one of those things where I saw somewhere that they have not beaten this team and Zion hasn't played all the games.
Chris Russo had known.
Oh my goodness, don't get me started on that. Mad Dog calling. So I understand why a lot of people are feeling positive, are feeling good, and I want to, Chris. I really do, but I'm worried.
Sure.
I'm worried that now it's flipping back, and that's been me all season long. Love the Kings as an underdog.
Right.
Don't really love them, and I believe the line is one.
I think it's one and a half.
Are the Pelicans still favored?
No, the Kings are favored.
Okay, so the Kings are favored. You know I don't like that. It's one, so it's essentially a pick 'em. And I don't like it at all, Chris. 916-339-1140. As we mentioned yesterday, you never know when this thing could end. So we got the phone lines open all show long. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Honda Hotline. Folsom Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So how are you feeling? Are you feeling like me? Are you feeling more confident? We will have that conversation all day long. The only thing, and we have sound, we'll play from Keegan about expectations and the pressure. They haven't been able, the only thing that's giving me hope to feel like a lot of the people that do feel confident is that they're 0-5, which sounds insane.
I know.
If they were, and I think you said this yesterday, if they were 1-4, I'd be terrified. I'd be even more terrified.
Yes, I actually feel better because they're 0-5.
Yes.
Because you can say, they're due for one. If they would have already gotten that one out of the way, I would be like, this team clearly has their number. And, you know, they won that one time, but it was probably luck or whatever. Or, hey, you play a team five times, you're probably going to get them once. But they clearly have shown the matchup. And, yeah, it's really weird how sports can work like that sometimes. But absolutely, I'm right there with you. I think if they were 1-4, I'd feel better. Since they're 0-5, there is a, it's just another thing to add to the Kings side. If you're doing pros and cons, it's you got to be due at some point. But I also definitely agree with you that you should be a little bit scared, a little bit nervous for today. You shouldn't think, oh, the Kings are rolling. They're just going to roll over the Pelicans. The Pelicans are down. The Kings are up. Everything's good on our side, because you're completely right. Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum are still problems. Those are still guys who, especially for one game, can absolutely be a 1A player that can kill your team. And we've seen CJ do it time and time again. I know Brandon Ingram's coming off the injury, but just as a player profile, that dude is the exact kind of guy that gives this Kings team problems. Zion gives them problems for a completely different reason. They can't throw a body to put in front of him. Brandon Ingram's the, you know, the better version of Andrew Wiggins from last year in the playoffs. The same reason we just saw Jonathan Kuminga give the Kings buckets. Isolation, create your own shot, scoring forwards. The Kings have no answer for it. And so that's the fear for me going in today, is that Brandon Ingram gets whatever shots he wants. The Kings can't slow him down. And, you know, CJ, I think the Kings will use a similar game plan that they used with Steph on CJ, but there's still we've seen that dude just go absolutely nuclear, where it probably didn't matter what defense was throwing at him. The shot looked like he was throwing a beach ball into the ocean. So, you know, those are definitely two guys that you have to be majorly concerned about going into tonight.
And do want to give a shout out to Chris quickly. We were going over, I was going over the numbers yesterday, and we discussed CJ McCollum's three games, his 3-point percentage compared to Domantas Sabonis. And at the time, I said that CJ was shooting 70.3, which would be 0.1 worse than Sabonis' free throw percentage. I re-looked at the numbers after the show, and they're shooting the exact same percentage, both 70.4. CJ McCollum is 19 of 27. He is shooting 70.4% from three, and that is Sabonis' free throw percentage.
So when we say he's shooting it like a layup or like it's a free throw, it's literally as if it's a free throw.
literally. So, yeah, that take with that what you want. The good or the bad thing is, Chris, and again, Kendrick Perkins, I never thought I would reference him that much on this show. But, you know, he was going into CJ's been cold these last two games.
Yeah,
we talked about the cycle yesterday. If you weren't with us yesterday and you're with us now, thanks for joining. But throughout this season, the Lakers have owned the Pelicans have owned the Kings, and the Kings have owned the Lakers. Who is going to break that cycle? Who is going to break that cycle? Because if the Pelicans win, nobody would have broken the cycle, because they still couldn't beat the Lakers, and the Kings still couldn't beat the Pelicans. So who is going to break that cycle? And you look at CJ McCollum and what he's been doing. He was hot, right? He was hot against the Kings, obviously, and then he was hot against Golden State. But those Lakers came to town, and he wasn't able to produce the same way. So now I'm thinking, I'm looking here, Chris, in two games against the Lakers, okay, CJ McCollum was 5 of 18. He was 1 of 9 in the play-in, and he was 4 of 9 in the other game that they lost. With 4 of 9 isn't terrible,
right?
But 1 of 9 is. So that makes me feel better, because, oh, he's due. Hopefully he's not due tonight. And he's already had, he's due to have a bad game against the Kings.
Yes, absolutely. He's definitely due to have a bad game against the Kings.
Or a human game.
A human game. It's not even bad. It's just be normal. Be like, just score 22 or something and I'll take it at this point. Yeah, I think that the Kings are going to really make a hard emphasis. I'm looking at CJ's numbers here too. It is... before these two Laker games, he had 6 straight games of double-digit three-point attempts. To me, that's what the Kings have to do. CJ might just continue to be on fire, or like you said, he's due. Mm-hmm. Maybe the shots just end up going in today. It's about limiting those opportunities, because that's what they did really well with Steph and Klay. Of course, Klay kind of had his own little independent story going on, but Steph only took 5 shots at halftime. And then at the end of the game, I think he ended up with 16. But I was watching some of the highlights back of that game. There was a really big shot that Steph could have taken that he ended up like jumping in the air and then like dumping it off because the Kings' pressure was just too much on him. Like, and that's Steph Curry, who we've seen he's willing to take quite literally any shot on the basketball floor.
Right.
So if you can put that same level of aggression and intensity towards CJ McCollum and make him think twice about taking threes, that's, to me, how they can slow him down. CJ is going to be a huge factor for New Orleans in this game, especially with B.I. kind of, you know, nicked up. We don't know how serious his injury is at this point. They said he practiced really well yesterday.
That extra day, man.
Yeah, it definitely could come back to bite the Kings, but I think there's no way New Orleans goes into tonight without saying CJ's got to be great tonight.
Coming up next, we continue the conversation, breaking down how the Kings can get this done. Your calls, your texts. Are we setting ourselves up for a letdown, or can they really pull this off? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
How will you be watching the game? Chris, Sacramento, and we have some sound from Draymond about how that defense affected the Warriors. But, you know, Warrior fans were kind of roasting Sacramento for celebrating, even though they would have done the same thing and did the whole little brother thing. But these play-in games are weird because I have no clue, and I'm going to throw it to you right here, where to rank this, not rank this game, but the level of excitement, and I guess it's hard to compare to last season because you were in the playoffs. So where does this fall in your years of Kings fandom? Where the heck does it fall?
It's a good question. That's a really good question. I mean, last year feels like it's near the top for sure. Last year is definitely top three. It's probably number two. I mean, I was born in 95 too. So like, you know, I don't really have a lot of memories or any really of like the first playoff teams in Sacramento to make it. I hear those were incredible. Whitey used to tell me over the summer about this incredible story of, you know, Kings fans having a standing ovation the first 15 minutes as the guys like ran out of the tunnel, their entire warm-up, just a whole standing ovation. I believe that was against the Sonics, if I'm remembering correctly. But so, you know, I hear that was a great part, but that can't be a part of my list just because I don't remember it. I mean, just those 2002, 2003 years,
of course,
has to be number one. Last year's probably number two. You know, ultimately, I would probably put this top five, but it's definitely leaning more towards the five spot just because of the inconsistency of this year. Like, I don't know, and we've talked about this before briefly, but this year just hasn't really... And maybe it's because it's coming immediately after my number two season, but it just hasn't felt as fun. Last year we had, and I say this all the time, but we had the De'Aaron game winners, the Orlando shot, the Chicago, I'm nice. And we even had the Clipper game, like maybe the greatest basketball game that's ever been played of this generation. Like we had that game all in one year. And this year has just been, I can't think of, Malik had the game winner against Golden State in the play-in game.
His dunks, I guess.
His dunks in general, for sure. But, like, I think that's the only, like, end of game. We had Kevin Huerter pop last night. Keegan's 47, for sure. It's been a fun season. It's been one of the more winning seasons, so that's definitely added to it. And, yeah, I mean, I just think the overall ups and downs of the year have definitely made it less enjoyable than maybe what the record would appear. Like, maybe in 3 years, like, I don't know, maybe in 15 years, if we're past this era of Kings basketball, looking back at it, we might say, like, you know, 46 wins, what a great era that was, the Beam Team era. And I think, you know, while we're in it now, it just really hasn't been that great.
Well, I think the tough part is the only way...
Relatively.
Yes, I think the only way you probably appreciate this season more in 10 years is if you don't get better.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, because if
you
this know, is the peak. Yes,
that actually wasn't too bad. So
right, exactly.
I don't think this will live. We'll see what happens tonight. Because that's the thing. I guess to bring it back to tonight. Yeah, tonight specifically and the excitement that you had over your years of being a fan.
Yeah.
It's got to be a top five night.
Yeah, in terms of nights, for sure. Again, like, got to bring up last year, game one, game two.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's number one,
the hype
probably.
Leading into game seven.
Yeah.
Obviously not game seven itself. Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's definitely one of the most exciting games. And like I said up top, like, this is what you play for. This is what you watch for. It's for your team to have it all against the wall and have an opportunity for a chance at another life, or your season's over. And these are the kind of games where you find out about the personality of your team. I think last game we found out Keegan Murray is somebody that you can rely on in big games. I think Keon Ellis showed he's somebody who, you know, you don't have to worry about, are we going to get good productive minutes out of Keon in these bigger games? He absolutely showed that. If they can do it again tonight, I think that's just solidifying these guys are guys that we can go into our future these next couple years and feel good about. Feel like, hey, we don't have to think about a seventh or eighth rotation guy because we got Keon Ellis. Maybe Trey Lyles and Davion have better games than they had on Tuesday. Maybe you feel better about their future. I think there's a lot that you can pick up from a game like tonight, and I think that's what makes it so exciting, even though it is an 8-9 matchup, or I guess, yeah, an 8-9 matchup. To see who can get that final playoff spot. And still, even though it's against a one seed, you still have to feel good about the fact that you made it to this point.
Yeah, and we will definitely break down how the Kings can take care of business and get into the playoffs. Let's get to JT, who wants to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation. What's up, JT? What you got for us?
What's up, fellas, Styles and Watkins? Hey, love the show, guys.
Thank you.
I'm in a bit of a pickle here, and I thought I'd call the one person who might understand how I feel. Mr. Watkins, I have a softball game starting at 8:30 tonight. What the hell do I do, bro?
Oh, that is a tough, tough, tough one. I don't have options, so I have to skip those games, but that's tough. I would say having the phone in your dugout is probably the safest way, but I mean, it's a play-in. If it were a playoff game, I would seriously consider that you skip it. Mm-hmm. But if being a play-in game...
But is it a playoff softball game?
Is it a playoff softball game? That's a big question.
Yeah,
no, is it a playoff softball game?
Yeah, we lost him.
Ah,
but.
God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are the big questions that you got to figure out. But I would say the easiest thing to do is probably bring your phone or an iPad, if you could, into the dugout.
Yeah, well... I mean, an NBA game is about 3 hours, okay? A long game will go 3.5. So by the time your game is starting, you're probably pretty close to the fourth quarter. You're in the – halftime is over after 2 hours.
Let's see, yeah. I mean, 8:30, the game – oh, yeah, the game starts at 6:30 tonight.
Exactly.
Huh? Right,
so
yeah.
You're in the middle of the third quarter when your game is starting. So I would say, hey, guys, I'm going to be DH.
Definitely leave at halftime.
Yeah, I'm going to be DH.
That's right.
Okay, so I don't have to go into the field at least. And then sub me into the field once the game is over.
Yeah, that's a really, really tough predicament, though. That is one of the many, many things that, I mean, you know, it's tough. I have to sacrifice playing volleyball or softball, but yeah, no, it's
Friday night.
It's, sometimes it's a tough decision.
You don't want to miss Friday Night Lights. Yeah. You don't want to miss Friday Night
Definitely
Lights.
Definitely not. Yeah.
I'm seeing on the Sack Chat, shout out to the Sack Chat, going crazy today.
Love it.
Curtis Hicks is saying, Styles, the line switched in favor of the Pelicans. Curtis,
really?
I'm saying 4 hours ago, this is from CBS Sports. I'm still seeing Sacramento 1.5 favorites.
I'm seeing on ESPN here, on ESPN Bet, that is.
Okay.
New Orleans 1.5 favorite.
Love it.
Yeah. There we go.
Love it. Need some more of it. Continuing the conversation when we return. Styles and Watkins, more of your calls. Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, five.
Oh.
5 times the Kings have lost to the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Like we said, Chris, had people call in. You said your dad was one of five?
Yeah, one of five boys. Yeah.
One of five boys.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
My parents on both sides, we're one of seven, and it's just all mixed up.
Hey, my dad, one of seven, too.
You know, back in the day,
mom,
man.
Mom, too. Yeah.
That was just, that seven's the new seven.
They were Mormon, too. That was a big thing. So
three's the new seven.
Three's the new seven, baby.
Three's the new seven in this economy. But we're trying to figure out if anybody knows anybody. Six boys or six girls.
Yeah, that's.
Okay?
Come on.
You play roulette. You ever seen black hit 6 times?
Come on.
You ever seen red hit 6 times?
I know you have.
Alex. I know. I was thinking the same thing.
I actually did. On my birthday, I did. That's exactly what happened.
But you ever seen green?
But that's besides the point.
Green never hit 6 times.
But you never seen green hit 6 times.
I'm curious. So, Alan, you see black hit 5 times. Are you the type to bet black or are you going red?
I'm going black every time. Every time. But I'll go red, but not because of that.
Okay.
Because if black, because I always do black just in general.
Sure.
So I can't lose to black
if
it's been hot.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? There was somebody at one of the spots around here, and that day it was legitimately black like
all day long.
And he kept trying to force red, and he four or five times, Chris.
See, yeah,
and
that
he
hurts.
Lost every single time. This is not good. This is not a
don't
good
don't be
setup.
That guy, Kings.
Yes, Kings.
Don't be that guy.
Do not be that guy. You have to flip the script tonight.
Yes,
you have to do it.
Take destiny into your own hands.
If they don't, 916-339-1140. It's not even an embarrassment thing. I know there's no Zion and there's no Malik, so I feel like that's somewhat, and there's no Kevin Herter, so that feels fairly even to me. I'd even say that the Pelicans are in a bit of a better spot than the Kings. But if you lose, and now with the Kings doing what they did to the Warriors, now they have these expectations as far as the national media is concerned, besides Mad Dog Russo. So the question is, if you lose to a team 6 times, how bad of a look would that be?
pretty tremendous. And, like, that's one that, you know, yeah, if you lose to an opponent 6 times in 1 year, that's everybody. Everybody gets a piece of the blame pie on that one. That's absolutely the players. You know, you don't get to just blame it on the coach and say, you know, he didn't have us ready. 6 opportunities and you guys haven't really shown much. If you know, 5 opportunities already and you haven't shown much of a path to victory. If you lose a 6th time, I don't think you can just blame that all on the coach. You guys are out there for the 48 minutes. You can do something out there to affect the game. Mike Brown is not blameless in that situation either. 6 times to figure out some sort of game plan to work something out to make these guys struggle. You can't have CJ McCollum shoot 95% from the field and from 3 in every single game and not say, like, hey, let's just put 5 guys on him at some point.
Yeah.
Monty McNair also gets a lot of the blame for that as well, because if you lose to a team six times, that clearly means that you probably didn't build a balanced lineup, right? That means that you have a clear and obvious hole that is clearly being taken advantage of by a specific opponent. Now, if you're Monty McNair, you say, hey, man, you know, that's one team that's beating the hell out of us.
Right.
29 other teams can't do that to us. So, you know, definitely.
Well, the Rockets did beat
every, you. There you go. We could probably find some other teams, too. You know, yeah, so it's everybody's taking a part of the blame in that for sure, but nobody gets 100% of the blame either. It's definitely an even split probably for those three groups of people, because you lose to a team six times, that's a whole community of failure.
It really is. And to me, it has to be about if they lose, how they lose. If they lose the same way in CJ McCollum.
Yeah, 15 plus, no thanks.
Yeah, if you lose by double digits, I'm 10 would be on the borderline, but if you lose by, say, 12 or more, I think, you know, a lot of people are going to go at Mike Brown on that. Everybody deserves some blame. And it's really about how they lose. If CJ McCollum drops 35 points and he's wide open all the time, that's a problem, because you have not learned after six times you let the same thing happen to you. It's just ridiculous if that happens. Joe Giroux on the Sack Chat. My college roommate was one of eight boys. Not today, Joe.
Okay, Joe.
Not today, Joe. It's just not today. All right. Looks like we have some form of a double agent on the Sack Chat.
Oh,
Michael Morgan
that.
Says 6-0. Also says y'all can't match up. I mean, they haven't matched up so far, Michael.
We got the one Pelicans fan in the planet.
Yeah,
in our chat.
It's possible.
What a
Michael,
pleasure.
If you head to New Orleans, or maybe you're in New Orleans, $25 or more, you can get that fleece jacket.
Nice.
You can get that fleece jacket.
Oh, yeah, and a ticket to the game, too.
And a ticket to the game, too.
If you're into that.
If you do want to check that out. I know Dave is. Dave, can you get me a schmedium fleece jacket while you're there? Don't get any popcorn.
I hear
on
they're
it.
Just passing them out.
Yeah, don't get any popcorn on it. All right. This is from the 916. This reminds me of the 49ers streak versus the Rams. They had one. Oh, I know where they're going. Seven in a row, and then lost to them in the playoffs.
That's right.
Rams eventually won a Super Bowl after that win. Same thing going to happen to the Kings. That is from Andres. There you go.
Nice. There you go.
I do remember that. I do remember that. 209, Monty McNair. This is interesting, Chris, and not really a day for it, but we'll entertain it. From the 209, Monty McNair gave Coach Brown all the tools. He just doesn't use them. I've never heard that before.
I haven't either. Yeah, I would love to hear further elaboration on that.
Yeah.
Who are the guys? I'm curious who specifically are the guys that you feel like haven't gotten enough run.
Yeah, I mean, the only person I could think of, I know there is a group of people, two people I can think of. There are a group of people that really want Chris Duarte to play more, and there are a group of people that really want Sasha Vezenkov to play more. And, yeah, I get really confused.
Could be JaVale McGee hive.
People do
I
love
saw
JaVale
enough
McGee.
Of JaVale.
Yeah, people do love JaVale McGee. Chris Duarte can be really confusing to me when it comes to his defense.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he's playing really good defense, but I don't think he's actually playing really good defense.
Right. If I were a coach, I would get in trouble for playing Chris Duarte too much, because, like, I see it. I see what is supposed to be happening. It just very rarely actually happens. Like, in theory, he is a 3-and-D guy, right? Like, you see the physicality that he has on the ball, super handsy, sometimes to a fault, but you can dial that back as long as he's got the intensity, that mindset. You like to see it, and then you know, sometimes he'll get blown by. Sometimes he'll get way too handsy and, you know, isn't the greatest in rotations. And then on the offensive end, he is a good shooter. In college, he was a great shooter. I think his first year in the league, he shot 37%, 38%.
And he's not afraid.
And he's not afraid either. He doesn't knock them down efficiently, and it feels like he doesn't quite understand the rhythm of the offense yet. And you could say maybe that's not getting enough playing time, but it just feels like every time Duarte's out there, it makes sense. And then as he plays, it just kind of doesn't end up going how I think everybody envisions it going. And it's kind of unfortunate. Maybe it's a bad year. Maybe he's somebody who takes some time to get adjusted
to a
situation. Who knows? Maybe next year will be a much better one for Chris Duarte as he's more comfortable. But this year, I just haven't really seen it on the floor.
Yeah, kind of mixed between a 2 and a 3.
Yeah,
And what part of the rotation, who was he behind, at what time? It's probably been a bit confusing. From the 209, you know that Chris Duarte even Len a little bit more. And McGee, that team New Orleans is so much bigger than us. We need some size. Mix it up. They don't have to play 30 minutes. Just play 15 freaking minutes. I do think we'll see more of Alex Len. At least I hope I do. He's been playing well. And, you know, I do think that with the load that Sabonis has carried throughout the season and his limited bag, if you will, offensively, it's good to get him a little break so it's just not the same thing over and over and over and over again. When we return, we hear from Keegan Murray. He talks about preparation, the difference between last season and this season, and if there's any pressure, any extra pressure that he feels and the team feels going into tonight's game. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, and there's a lot of conversation to be had. We are approaching Kings Pelicans showdown in New Orleans. Carmichael Dave is probably going through security right now. Go say what's up to him if you see him. Jason Ross, already there. Hardest working man in radio. He is already there doing his thing, keeping the vibes right. Get some Gator for me. Get some beignets for me.
You guys ever have Gator?
Yes.
Never. I've wanted to try it.
The one time I was in New Orleans, I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, so I didn't get to – I still need to do New Orleans.
Right.
But, yeah, had some Gator. It tasted like a mix between – like if fish and chicken had a baby. That's what it tasted like.
Yeah. For a lot of proofs.
Interesting.
That sounds so spot on.
It's like the
water
the glossiness of fish – right? Like the actual meat has that glossiness,
right?
But there's no fishy taste.
And it's a white meat?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's one of the most like protein-packed meats.
Yeah, I've heard
too.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
like
I love
gator
to eat
jerky
every day after a lift, but...
Dude, I love it.
There you go.
Find gator around here.
It's just really hard to find gator around
Can I just say how excited I am about tonight? Just as a Kings fan.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I'm excited. I know you're not supposed to be... I'm not like getting my hopes up too high, but I'm just excited. I think they're gonna do it.
No, you are supposed to be, Nate. You are supposed to be.
I just don't want to jinx. I don't want to be the jinx guy. But I'm happy for the Kings.
I don't think you're jinxing anything. I mean, you lose to a team five times. We've probably done five different things on every day, and it hasn't made a difference. They've played them without CJ. They've played them without Ingram. They've played him without Zion, and it hasn't mattered. The closest game was when I believe CJ didn't play, Zion and Ingram did, and the Kings didn't have Keegan. And that was the closest game.
Yeah. And the Pelicans lost by shot 5. 27% from 3 in that game.
See?
Yeah. Wasn't a playoff or playing game.
Nope,
Keegan's hot.
Nope. Okay, here's a good one.
None of that matters.
Here's a good one, because I think I do know the answer. Losing to a team 6 times... This is from a pressure standpoint. Don't get me wrong. Losing to a team 6 times, with 2 of those times, one affecting your seeding, which kind of puts you in the play-in for sure, and then the other would be being eliminated by that team in the play-in, or losing on the Pelican side, losing to the Lakers twice, which once puts you in the play-in, the second time kept you from being the 7th seed at home, and then losing to a team that you had beat 5 times at home again to end your season. I think in a way, there's, even without Zion, there's, I think more, funny enough, nationally more people care about the Kings, which is really interesting.
What?
I would say.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I would say that it would be seen as more of a collapse. I think people haven't watched enough besides, you know, even Kendrick Perkins saying that he's been watching, or it sounds like he has been. I think enough people have watched that if the Kings lose tonight, they would say that the Kings fumbled the bag. But those that have been watching all, but those that have been watching all season long should know that if the Pelicans lost, that would be a worse collapse than the Kings, in my opinion. You had, that would be three chances to extend your season, and you did not do that.
Yeah, no, I definitely think the Pelicans are lining up for a much worse scenario because, you know, yeah, you lose to a team six times in a year. That's obviously embarrassing, obviously not great. If that team ends up eliminating you from the playoffs, total ownage. There's nothing you could say. There's no comebacks you can have for that. But on the other side, to have done all the work through 80 games to put yourself in a situation to make the playoffs, and then a week later you're no longer in the playoffs, not because you got eliminated from the actual playoffs, because you never actually did make it. That's terrible. Especially, like, I just think of, if you know, us sitting in these chairs here, which would I expect more people to call in and say, this is unacceptable, this is wrong, here's the reasons why we need to blow this up. I just can't. If the Kings had done all the work all year to get to a six seed, and then in game 82, blew it, and then had two chances to salvage it.
At home.
At home. All of them at home, and blew all three in front of your home crowd, people would go nuts.
Yeah.
People would go ballistic.
Well, and I did send Chris, there's a clip, we cannot play it on the air, but there's a clip from a Pelicans Twitter space after the loss to the Lakers, and they're already losing it. Yes. They are already losing it, and I would be too. Well, that's a terrible situation.
They can really fall back on injuries too right now, but I mean,
but they
I
can roll it, but they were rolling without Ingram. They were they were rolling without Ingram. Yep.
They're missing the big man though, and that's a huge problem.
It's a worse collapse for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think it's a worse collapse for them.
They were sitting in the five seed.
And plus, we're down too. Like, you, if you're the Pelicans, you say, not only did you beat this team five times, they didn't have Malik or Kevin Huerter in that sixth time.
Yeah.
And so what else could you have wanted from that opponent?
Or the fifth time.
Or the fifth time.
Well, they won that game.
Yes, that's true, right.
Yeah. And the Pelicans, like you guys were saying, were winning without their guys.
Yeah. They were rolling without Ingram.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not rolling, but they had recently gotten hot, probably because they played the Kings, and then they played well.
They won four of their last five of the season.
There you go.
Yeah.
And on the Kings side of things, we all feel good about it, but if you look at the games, they were 5-7. They had lost five of their last seven going into that Warriors game. So I know it's a different, season, if you will.
Right.
But now they've just won. They've now
won back-to-back games.
Yeah, they've now lost five of their last eight, won back-to-back games. So when does the momentum get going here?
Yeah, two, and you can argue, I mean, as much as it was the Blazers, two blowouts. So, like, they are feeling good about themselves. They feel good about
that team earlier this season.
Exactly. You know, there that's a redemption arc right there. And, you know, I've heard people bring this up, too. Just because the Kings hadn't gotten the results in that 10 games, I think that did do them a little bit of a disservice with how well they were playing. Like, they were what, top 10 in both offense and defensive rating during that stretch. They were 4-6, which is why ultimately it was tough to talk about it as such a positive. But they're playing really, really good basketball right now. And, you know, you just got to hope to continue at the problem is the Kings were playing really good defensive basketball leading into that Pelicans game, and everything went out the window. And that's why this opponent is just tough to feel any better than a like 55% chance of the Kings winning today. To me, is incredibly optimistic. Not saying it's not going to happen, but just with everything we've seen this year, like you've laid out, all of the different scenarios that we've seen between these two teams, the only consistent has been the Pelicans absolutely having the Kings' number. So it's tough to believe that, you know, after watching all that the Pelicans might blow this game, but at the same time, I mean, it there are a lot of things working in the Kings' favor, and the Pelicans are, you know, they're a bit down, like, just because, you know, Zion definitely put the team on his back the past 2-3 weeks with Brandon Ingram out, and it is a bit of a transition period. It's not easy to go from, hey, we've leaned really heavily on Zion here the past couple weeks, and CJ as well, but now we just have to slide Brandon Ingram in there where he hasn't really been in that rhythm. Like, that's not an easy ask to do.
Yeah, and I mean, both of these teams, if you're truly looking at it, I think they both can convince themselves, all we got to do is get through this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll have a good chance. I don't know. What did they say for Zion? They said, what was it,
two weeks at least.
So, hey, we get through this. We were able to win some games without Ingram. Right. We can find a way to do it without Zion. We are playing the most inexperienced team at the top of the play, at the top of the seeding in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Both those teams can convince themselves. It's just a matter of who is going to be able to get over the hump today.
Yeah.
I obviously it'll be tougher taking on OKC, but in a weird way, both these teams might be nervous. Probably isn't the right word, but man, this is going to be a tough one. But if we can get through this, at least you get. After you've been in the play-in playing right. for your life,
yeah.
the idea of having four games to figure something out, no matter right. who you're playing,
yeah. some cushion
will at yeah. least make you feel you could be playing, you know, yeah. the Bulls from the 90s.
Right.
You'd at least feel like at least we'll have a couple shots at
sure.
this to game plan and figure some things out, which they haven't truly had, and you're not going to have
sure.
in the play-in. When we return, we will hear from Keegan Murray on what they have to do tonight, how they prepared, and if they're feeling any pressure. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.